The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
If it wasn't for the bean nectar, I don't think DJ Automatic could be awake right now. Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show inside the T-Mobile studios. My name is Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
Bean nectar is coffee. I didn't know this until you told me. DJ Automatic.
I don't think I made that up. I think I heard it somewhere else before, but that's what I refer to as bean nectar because it is essential to my being.
You're in such a bad mood until you put your lips on that straw.
I go from this like deep, dark person to this like really nice man that's like, hey, how's your morning going? And I actually care. I want to hear it for a second. If I don't have the bean nectar, I don't have any coffee in me, I don't care how your morning's going.
Yeah, I think caffeine and love are the strongest substances out there, in my opinion.
You know what really upsets me, though, Anthony? I make the coffee and all that. Okay, fine. And we both drink coffee. We're both coffee addicts. But it's his cup that I'm super jealous of. He's got this cute, beautiful cup, and I have a beat up Yeti.
I like to refer to it as a sassy cup, okay? So my daughter got it as a gift from one of her friends. It's a big, tall, I think it's a Starbucks cup.
It is. Not a regular Starbucks cup. That's one of the wicked, most hard to find, you could sell that on eBay for a lot of money, sassy cup.
Oh, I love it. And it's now mine. It's got a little straw and everything.
You so quickly bailed from the Yeti gang, dude. I thought you were a Yeti through and thin, dog. Like, you're never going to go.
I still got my Yeti. I'm still Yeti, but the Yeti doesn't have a sassy little straw like this.
It actually does have a sassy straw, but I didn't buy you the sassy straw because I thought you needed to move away from that.
What? Why would I need to move away from
it? So that I could take the Starbucks cup. It's a wicked cup. Don't you think it's better? You know, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, well, I'm the one that forced you to take me on that date to see the movie Wicked.
Well, I'm sold now. I even got the cup.
Morning rituals. Do you have one, Anthony A? Do you do something every morning you have to? Because if we don't have our coffee, and you know, I'm in a terrible mood, but DJ Automatic is, I mean, he needs his coffee.
Anthony didn't used to be a coffee drinker. Now he's a... You drink a little bit of coffee.
Yeah, I drink coffee here and there when needed, but mainly I just say a quick prayer before I walk into the studio. Give me the strength to get through hanging out with the married couple for 4 hours.
Not only that, he's praying Automatic had his bean nectar. All right, National Day, Anthony A.
We're going to kick off with an anniversary of the COVID-19 outbreak. It's the fifth anniversary of the outbreak declared by the World Health Organization.
Blech. We do not want to celebrate that. I don't want to go back. I feel like I blocked it because of all the, there were no groceries. We were all
no toilet paper.
Fighting for toilet paper. The only thing I appreciated is that my lifestyle was embraced by all. I never leave the house, so.
I appreciate the amount of efforts that went into everybody reminding them to wash their hands. To the homie, I'm not going to mention my coworker who dips out of the bathroom before washing their hands, but hey, dog, do it again. I'm going to out you.
Tell us when we're off the air so I don't ever shake their hand.
Shout out to all the nurses and doctors, though, too.
Sure. Yes, all right. Yes. What do we have next?
And we're going to wrap it up with a great reason to eat a buttery biscuit before 9 a.m. It is National Croissant Day, everybody.
That's one of my favorite breads.
It is, and it's not like a biscuit. It's flaky. It's goodness. And I don't think it's exclusive to breakfast because I can do a croissant, hammy, and cheese. Like, you don't even understand. That is so good.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Last week on the radio, I was talking about us being invited to the Grammys. And of course, I talked about Taylor Swift going to be there. Beyonce is going to be there. Billie Eilish is performing. Doechii is performing. Automatic, you turn me on to her. She's like a breath of fresh air for hip hop. So amazing. Post Malone is in the building. However, then and now, I can't ignore the LA fires. There are so many that left with nothing but the clothes on their back and house shoes, whatever, slippers they could find, little chanclas laying around the house, whatever they could get out. They might have a car. Some don't have a car. How am I going to buy a dress?
It just doesn't feel genuine. It doesn't feel like the right move.
It's so tone deaf, right? Like, look what we're doing. We bought, you know, a house on the internet. We've been talking about it. Every time I buy something for the house, I'm just like, man, I'm so blessed. Jeez, we're so blessed because these people have absolutely nothing. So I said to Automatic, maybe we should donate the money we'd normally spend on, you know, a nice outfit to help those in need. And a woman was listening to us. She's a new listener.
I just heard your heartfelt message. I wanted to bring a resource to your attention, and it's lafireresources.info. And within there, there's multiple links for donation centers, volunteer centers, family shelters, and hotels. Sorry. Animal boarding, meals, transportation, people are in need of. Yeah, that's how you can help give back.
That call, that was it. I said, we're going to go and we're going to donate the money that we would normally spend to a charity organization that is helping people on the ground.
Obviously, you know, it hit a very wealthy part of the country, of LA. And a lot, I've heard people who have said, those people have enough money to build. But you have to understand, there is a trickle-down effect for everybody who worked for those wealthy people, the people that took care of their yard, the people that took care of their house, the people. So for me, it hit home because I grew up, my dad worked in pest control, but he worked for wealthy people. And if that would have happened in Santa Fe, his entire business would have been wiped out immediately, and it would have had a humongous effect on our family.
And I feel badly for everyone who lost their homes, but you know, you just talked about Palisades. Altadena is right there, and this is not a rich community.
No.
They lost everything too.
My friend Pete Lee, he lives in the Palisades, and he's a working comedian who, you know, had enough money to live there, but he is also displaced himself. So it is it's a tough situation for everybody. And it's one of those all hands on deck situations where if you think you could have anything that could help somebody, please consider donating it if you can.
I love that. All hands on deck. So we will be at the Grammys. I want to thank everybody who's been so supportive of it. Let's do it the right way. Let's cover this the right way and make sure that people know how they can help everybody who needs it. All right, we'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
We got a call about Hailey Bieber and Justin Bieber. And of course, Selena Gomez came up in that because they got married. You know that 6 months after Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez split, he married Hailey Bieber. So our insider, who is kind of in this circle, said quite a few things, but this stuck out. Take a listen.
Not only was she a fan, she stalked her way into this man's life. And if you knew everything that I knew, you would think that it's weird that he ended up with her too.
This reminded me that Hailey Bieber and Kendall Jenner and Kylie Jenner were really mean to Selena Gomez online. I had forgotten all of that.
I do remember that because I remember you talking to me about it because you're like, this gives real mean girl energy.
It did automatic, and it disappointed me because, I mean, I'm a grown woman, so I would like to think that I'm not highly influenced by them. We have to talk about them. They're in the public eye, all of that. But I do know the influence that they have on other young girls. Right, on young girls. And it's not their responsibility. I'm not saying it's their responsibility. It's a parent's responsibility. We all know that. You should be your child's hero, blah, blah, blah. No matter what, they were mean to Selena Gomez in real life, in real time, on social media. We all know the effects of bullying. Selena Gomez has had to take mental breaks off of social media because of it. She's the most followed female celebrity on Instagram. So, of course, she gets a lot of love, but there's a lot of weird stuff that people write in those comments, too.
When women click up and they flip that switch to meanness, it can make you feel very low. I mean, of course, we're talking about the celebrities, but this has been going on forever. This is why there's that, even that old movie Mean Girls. Like, this is a thing that when women get together and they start talking negatively or just kind of like, in, you know, we call it roasting, they can make you feel extremely low about yourself. Well,
there's a reason for that, you know. And I made a promise to myself, rather, to help women. And I'll tell you why. I was really young when I started working in radio. I was a young mother, so this was like a dream job for me because I had done just about every hard blue collar or bar job or whatever job I could find. And I met these amazing women, and they did, you know, their own shows, and I wanted to be friends with them and I wanted to be like them. I really looked up to these two women. Finally, at one meeting, they kind of started talking to me, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, they're gonna
be part of the clique.
Yeah, they're going to be my friends. And they invited me to a concert. I was so excited to go to this concert, especially as a new personality. And they kind of teased me all the way up there. I just ignored it. I was like, it's okay. It's okay. It is what it is. I got to pay my dues, you know, in the business. But they left me at the concert 40 miles away from the city that I lived in. And I just explained, I was a very young mom. I didn't have money for a cell phone, so I didn't own one at the time. I had just started in this industry. I didn't have a lot of money and I didn't know what I was going to do. Luckily, I ran into somebody I knew. Oh, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. I was so scared. I was like, how am I going to get home? And he gave me a ride back into town, dropped me off, and I was angry.
Of course you're angry. You got left intentionally.
And I did some terrible things to these women.
Oh.
I thought being vindictive, having my revenge, was going to make me feel better. And it made me feel worse than them leaving me at the concert. And when everything was coming out and these women were going through the embarrassment of what I had disclosed and all these things, I said, man, we got to get past this and I'll never do this again. And I prayed and I said, God, if you get me past this and you let them come out on top as well, I'm going to do everything in my power to help other women. And I raised my daughters to do the same. I've taught my three daughters, be kind to girls. Don't fall back into those societal pressures that we have to see other women as competition. And you do feel that way because, you know, I hate to say it, but we can only hire one woman. So then it's natural to feel, well, I don't like this person because they're coming after what I want. No, we cannot see things that way. Or if you don't get married, you're not valuable. If you don't have children, you're worthless. These kind of societal pressures have made us see one another as enemies. And that's just not the case. We got past it and I'm here and they're still doing lovely work as well. And I learned a valuable lesson on my own.
I just want to know what you disclosed.
Oh, we're not going down that road. Mean girl vibes are gone.
That is the ugliest effing skirt I've ever seen.
I would never, ever, like, I can't believe I was that person. But being a mean girl didn't make me feel better. And I learned something. If making someone feel bad makes you feel good, you need to reevaluate yourself.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Things are going to get heated during the big game. And we're not talking about the actual game. We're talking about food. Automatic will give us more on that coming up. Time for hottest hashtags here on the Dana Cortez Show inside the T-Mobile studios. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A, a.k.a. Young Grammar Error.
I read this study. I had to share it with you. 4 out of 5 people say on a first date, if the person they're with is rude to the service worker, there will not be a second date.
Makes sense.
I concur.
That's a great look into who they are as a person.
Yeah. If you're treating the service worker, whether it's a bartender, a person at a grocery store, you know, your waiter, waitress, whatever the case may be, if you're treating them with disrespect, especially on the first date, boo.
There is one exception, though. Those people that when you're at somewhere where you're ordering the food at the counter and they swing that little computer around and mm-hmm. try to get a tip out of you. I feel like I can
at the fast food joint.
I don't need to respect that because you've disrespected me by turning that computer around and saying, hey, throw a tip on here.
If you're taking me to the fast food spot on the first date, I don't know if there's going to be a second one anyway. So just putting that out there. And I'm not that kind of girl. I'm just saying. All right. Food news, DJ Automatic.
Just in time for the big game. Cholula is coming out with extra hot sauce.
I'm a big Cholula person at all. I don't personally need the extra hot. I'm more of a mild sauce guy, but I think it's a good sauce that goes on everything too. I prefer that over Tabasco. So that's my take on Cholula. Shout out to the lady in the bottle.
You know, hotter Cholula? I don't know.
Well, social media asked for it and Cholula gave it to us.
Oh, no. Not influencers. Damn you, foodies. Come on, dog. Cholula doesn't need to be messed with at all, bro.
Hot take here. I'm very sorry. Tabasco, Cholula, all of it. It tastes too vinegary to me.
I like both of them, so.
There's nothing like homemade fresh salsa. Unless it's a pickle, I don't want that taste.
That might have been the best use of hot take I've ever heard. Good job, Dana.
Because it definitely wasn't a hot take.
What do we have? What do we have for National Day, Anthony A?
I hate to take you guys back to this time, but it is the 5th anniversary of the COVID-19 outbreak, which was officially declared by the World Health Organization today, 5 years ago.
Not only have I blocked certain events. I think the whole country did. We didn't have groceries. Millions of people were out of work. There was no toilet paper. For God's sake, I'm so glad it's 5 years in the past.
I'm glad we have put it behind us.
For real. All right, what's next, Ant?
And next, we're going to go on to one of the greatest, I would say, breakfast treats of all time. It's National Croissant Day, everybody.
Love me a croissant with a little bit of ham, a little bit of cheese.
Well, see, that's what I was going to say. When Anthony said breakfast, the flaky goodness of a croissant cannot be limited to the a.m. time. You can have it at dinner. You can have it at lunch.
It's one of the best breads out there.
Now, are you guys more sweet or savory type of croissant people?
I'm any kind of croissant person.
That's the hot take right there.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I'm seriously thinking about buying a chicken.
That's not going to happen.
Automatic, we can hide the chicken. We can do something because egg prices are out of control. I bought a dozen eggs and it was over $7. Everybody's going to eat every egg that I ever make from now on. You're never going to leave a speck of egg. It's never going to happen. There is bird flu, which, by the way, has been going on for quite some time, but it's really at an epidemic place.
Yeah, it's place spreading at this like point. Crazy right now.
So what's happening is farmers are having to slaughter millions of chickens a month, which means there's a shortage of eggs. throughout the country.
But not a shortage of chicken wings.
Well, no, you're not. I don't know. Can you eat that sick chicken?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, Anna, you're giving conspiracy theories right now. I don't want to know. Nobody's eating sick wings. I don't want any of that, especially with the big game coming up and all that. I'm just saying that I think it's time that we get a chicken. And used to, when you go to farmers markets and buy that fresh food from local farmers, whether it's tomatoes or onions or jalapeno or eggs, whatever, it used to cost you a little bit more money. Now?
It's same price?
It's probably a little cheaper. When that hit me at the grocery store, that $7, I said, no egg sandwiches in this house. We're going to have eggs once a week. Because it just freaked me out. And I'm serious about getting a chicken.
My brother has 6 chickens.
Well, I know that automatic. That's why I'm telling you.
And that's why I know we're not getting any chickens, because I know how much work goes into having chickens. And the other part is that now everybody is constantly either dropping by his house or is like, hey, can you bring me some eggs?
It's like when your friend gets a pickup truck and everybody asks him to help him move.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Well, what's he going to do with all those eggs?
Well, now he's like an egg dealer. He uses them as like his commissary.
That doesn't even make sense.
Has he ever mentioned anything about how much it costs to take care of them? Because doing my research for this segment, I've come to learn that the cost of soybeans and corn has risen, which is also driving the price of these eggs up because it costs more to take care of these chickens.
Well, number one, you shouldn't be feeding your chickens corn, but that's a conversation for another day. That might be a little bit of a conspiracy. No, chickens don't eat corn naturally. You're supposed to feed them what they eat in nature.
I don't know what T feeds his chickens. I have no idea, but they're plump. They're well fed.
Nice, dude. I hope they're big wood. Are they GMO things?
I know that Automatic was scared to go into the chicken coop. He put on his muck boots and he was like, I don't know. These chickens are going crazy.
I'm not a farm kid. I saw this video on TikTok that said that if you buy a chicken, that is step one to becoming a conspiracy theorist and hating the government.
What?
Because they realize that you can become self-sufficient and you won't need to live off of the government aid anymore.
That's kind of how I grew up. My whole body and my whole neighborhood we had chickens my whole life. Didn't you have chickens in your neighborhood when you grew up?
Yeah, I grew up. A rooster would wake me up every single morning.
Yeah, I had chickens too, but my mom was also best friends with a state representative. So I don't know about hating the government.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I'm not going to be making egg sandwiches in this house for a long time. Automatic loves egg sandwiches. It's one of his favorite things. Can you make me an egg sandwich? Can you make me an egg sandwich? The answer is once a week, because these egg prices, we talked about it earlier, they're out of control.
Damn you, bird flu.
That's what it is. So a lot of people are like, they have all these weird conspiracies. And what is it? Number one, it is not our politicians. It is the bird flu. And these poor farmers are having to murder their chickens because they have the bird flu. And so there's a shortage of eggs. And when there's a shortage of anything, it costs more money. So now breakfast is more spendy in your casa house, and it's more spendy at the restaurants, which makes me feel bad because you have these small, you know, businesses, you have these corner restaurant places that are relying on folks to pull in to get their eggs and bacon. And now it's like eggs and bacon are $59.99 and I don't have that money.
If you're a brunch spot, it's going to change your prices for sure.
You know, that eat breakfast at brunch? My friends just go for the mimosas.
And we haven't even got to Easter yet. This is going to get so bad to the point the Easter Bunny might need a GoFundMe. Egg prices is just insane.
I only like the eggs that have candy in them anyways for Easter.
Oh, Otto.
We could just have Cadbury for breakfast.
Well, why don't we do this, Automatic? Okay, Anthony just said about the egg prices for Easter. Why don't we just say we're not boiling eggs this year or making cascarones, which are when you boil the egg and then you take the shell and you fill them with confetti. That's a no-go this year.
Not going to miss those.
That tradition is gone. Oh, I know, because people hit you in the head. We'll do the plastic eggs. We'll fill them with candies and money. And that's just it for this season. There's no real eggs, because then we're creating more of an egg shortage just to hide them in the yard. And nobody eats those gross colored eggs anyway. The coloring bleeds onto my boiled egg and then it's like pink or purple, green. I'm not eating that egg.
You're right, because the Easter egg hunt this year, that's going to feel very, there's a lot riding on that this year. You got to go out there and hunt eggs for the whole family.
There's not going to be a golden egg. There's just going to be an egg.
Just
egg.
Yeah. Who got the real egg? Who got the real egg?
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.